Hi, this is Eric Greb, Senior Associate Editor of Neurology Reviews. After a period during which treatment options for multiple sclerosis were limited, new drugs have gained regulatory approval, and several monoclonal antibodies are showing promise in clinical trials. Dr. Tobias Derfus, co-head of the Outpatient Care Unit and the Neuroimmunological Research Group at the University Hospital Basel, joins me to talk about some of these monoclonal antibodies. Dr. Derfus, interest in monoclonal antibodies as treatments for MS seems to be increasing. What advantages do these molecules have compared with interferon beta and glatiramer acetate?
These monoclonal antibodies are often regarded as some kind of magic bullets because they are very targeted to specific molecules. And one perfect example would be natalizumab. It's a monoclonal antibody against an integrin that blocks migration of lymphocytes from the vessels to the brain. And this treatment has been developed really from bench to bedside, so from preclinical EAE models then to treatment in patients. And this defined mode of action, at least we believe that we know how these drugs work, differentiates this kind of treatment from interferons and glatiramer acetate. However, the recent research indicates that this mode of action might not be so simple and more complex than previously expected. So nevertheless, they are very promising and they are more effective than interferons and glatiramer acetate. And in general, you can differentiate two different kind of monoclonal antibodies, ones that neutralize cytokines or receptors on immune cells and blockade the network between these cells. And the other mode of action would be depletion of immune cell subsets. And an example would be alemtuzumab. It's a depleting antibody against CD52. And this molecule has been recently approved also in Europe for the treatment of multiple sclerosis. And this antibody depletes the whole adaptive immune system, T cells, B cells, and K cells, and was shown to be very effective in early MS, but also as an escalation therapy. In general, these monoclonal antibodies have often a higher efficacy than the interferons and Copaxone, and sometimes they are also easier to administer because they have less frequent administrations. For example, the B-cell depleting antibodies like rituximab, they are used like every 6 months. They quite often have a good tolerability like natalizumab, but they have some safety concerns, and with natalizumab we know very well that the PML risk is increased in patients that are treated over 2 years and are positive for the JCV antibody. Mm-hmm. Overall, they are very promising. They have very good efficacy. We know quite good about the mode of actions, but we have to be aware of different safety problems that are known for Tysabri, and I think we have to learn more about the new drugs that will come to the market soon.
Now, ocrelizumab, which is another monoclonal antibody, is currently in phase 3 trials for relapsing remitting MS and for primary progressive MS. What is ocrelizumab's mechanism of action, and how did the drug fare in phase 2 trials?
Yeah, so ocrelizumab belongs to the group of depleting antibodies. It recognizes CD20, which is a molecule expressed on the surface of B cells, and it depletes these B cells. It doesn't deplete all the B cells. For example, the plasma cells that produce antibodies, they are not depleted because they don't have the CD20 molecule anymore. Before ocrelizumab was tested now in phase 2 and now in ongoing phase 3 trials, there were two different trials with rituximab. That was the predecessor of ocrelizumab, also a B-cell depleting antibody. And this antibody showed a very good efficacy in a phase 2 trial in relapsing remitting patients, the Hermes trial. It showed really in a small group of patients over 1 year impressive reduction of relapse rate and also MRI activity. And there was also a second trial conducted in primary progressive MS, that's the Olympus trial. Although this trial was overall negative, it didn't reach the primary endpoint, which was the time to confirmed disability progression, and that was not different between the placebo group and the Virum group. However, in a predefined subgroup analysis, which looked at patients that were younger than 51 years and that showed gadolinium-enhancing lesions, there it was really shown that you could prolong the time to disability progression. So it seemed in the patients with more active disease, with enhancing lesions in the brain that are younger, they might benefit even if they have primary progressive MS, which is harder to treat. So, and I think these two positive trials prompted now to go on with a new compound, ocrelizumab, that targets the same molecule. And there was one phase 2 trial in relapsing remitting MS. And this was also positive and showed remarkable results. The primary endpoint where there was a reduction of gadolinium-enhancing lesions, and this was dramatically reduced versus placebo by around 90%. So there were two different dose groups, but both showed significant results. And also the relapse rate was reduced from 0.6 relapses per year to 0.1 relapses per year in the Verum group. Of course, you always have to think about the side effect profile. So with this antibody, you deplete part of the immune system. The B cells are really down to zero. And the development of ocrelizumab in rheumatoid arthritis was stopped due to adverse events. But the drug was well tolerated in the MS setting. And I think the difference is that in rheumatoid arthritis, it's often used together with other immunosuppressive drugs, whereas in the MS setting, it's used as a monotherapy. But also in the MS trial, there was one death in the Verum group, and this death was due to a systemic inflammatory response syndrome. The connection to ocrelizumab is still uncertain, but I think we have to wait and see how the phase 3 trials are going. So currently there are two phase 3 trials, the OPERA and the ORATORIO trial, one trial in relapsing remitting MS and one trial in primary progressive MS. Both finished recruitment and are still ongoing, and we are very curious for the results of these two trials.
Now, another monoclonal antibody, teclizumab, reduced patients' annualized relapse rate by more than 60% in a phase 2 trial, but previous studies have raised concerns about the drug's safety and tolerability. Can you describe these concerns?
Teclizumab belongs to the group of antibodies that block receptors, and specifically teclizumab blocks the IL-2 receptor alpha chain, which is the high affinity IL-2 receptor. And blocking this receptor induces an upregulation of certain regulatory cells, so the CD56 bright NK cells, and it seems that these cells maybe can be used also as biomarker for treatment response. On the other hand, the drug seems to reduce T-cell activation, but it also decreases regulatory T-cells. It was registered before for kidney transplant, and the first phase 2 trial was an add-on trial to interferon treatment, the CHOICE trial, and this showed quite good results with regard to the primary endpoint, which were, again, MRI parameters like gadolinium-enhancing lesions. And this CHOICE trial was then followed by a second phase 2 trial, the SELECT trial. It was a quite big trial with 600 patients that tested two different dosages of teclizumab against placebo. In this trial, the new formulation of the drug was used, which is it's a subcutaneous formulation with a injection one time per month. And as you said, it induced relative strong reduction in the annualized relapse rate. It had impressive reduction of the disability progression of over 50%, and it also reduced all these MRI parameters like gadolinium-enhancing lesions and T2 lesions. But, of course, there were some serious side effects, and the rate of serious infections was increased in these patients. Besides the cutaneous reactions at the injection site, there were also some other serious cutaneous events like atopic dermatitis, allergic dermatitis, and exfoliative dermatitis and erythema nodosum. And there was also one death in the Verum group that was an abscess following a serious skin reaction. And there was another death due to autoimmune hepatitis. And there might also be some signal that autoimmune side effects might be increased, like a small increase in inflammatory bowel diseases in autoimmune thyroiditis, lymph adenopathy, and as I said, this one case of autoimmune hepatitis. And this might be related to the mode of action of the drug because regulatory T cells are reduced. On the other hand, the autoimmune disease MS gets better, so I think it's not completely understood how this antibody acts on the immune system, and some of these side effects might be due to adverse effects on the immune system. And similar findings have been reported with alemtuzumab, the depleting antibody that destroys T cells and B cells. And in this treatment also some autoimmune side effects have been reported. And maybe this goes in a similar direction, but There has to be, I think, a lot more basic research done to understand the mode of action of daclizumab. But on the other hand, of course, the clinical results were very promising.
Thank you very much for your time, Dr. Derfus. This is Eric Greb, Senior Associate Editor of Neurology Reviews. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.